A sermon out of Genesis on St. Francis's feast day and the blessing of the animals. I'll read from Genesis in the first chapter, starting at verse 20. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now, I'm sure not many of you know what my Bachelor's of Science degree is from Oregon State University. Anyone want to take a guess? I'll wait. Well, it was fisheries and wildlife science. See, I loved life science. I still love science, but I didn't want to be a lab rat, so I had to choose something that got me outside into the real world. Into God's creation, God's continuing creation. Oh man, it makes me swoon both academically and theologically just thinking about that. So the message I have for you today comes out of the Genesis reading, part of the creation story. But let me first start off with a story about fish. Stick with me here. So here in the Pacific Northwest, and in the West in general, we have a wide variety of native fish. We have some that we in general call trout, and others in a general way we call salmon. Trout hang around in freshwater streams and lakes, while the salmon travel back and forth between freshwater and saltwater. Or do they? What about a trout that we call steelhead and a salmon we call kokanee? Now, steelhead are trout that travel to the ocean and back numerous times. And kokanee are landlocked sockeye salmon that never taste the salty sea. What's going on here? It seems to be chaos in the fish world. And yet, out of seeming chaos is God's creative word of creation, making the world orderly and diverse. So, what are the benefits of ocean traveling trout and landlocked salmon? Might be your next question. And sometimes as humans, we miss the creative creation piece as we want to try to order God's world and God's will into our own. But remember from Scripture, humans are created as a piece of this creative breathing into life. We're not responsible for creation, and we're not responsible for the will behind it. So if you put that into perspective, God's will for the world is to be created. Landlocked salmon and ocean-going trout do make sense. Just one more story of where we thought we knew, but we didn't, really. You see, often the first few chapters of this Genesis story are misunderstood, used to push human power and control and morality, verses read as they were written and heard with the ears of the exiles they were written for. This beautiful poetry is far from a science textbook or a moral vision statement. It is a more powerful theology, a more sustaining pastoral message that addresses a real historical problem, and one in which, when allowed to integrate into your being, becomes a powerful balm against this chaotic world that pushes in on us or threatens to leave us abandoned in darkness. Don't we at all times feel like exiles ourselves, wandering around in our own personal Babylon, crying out for a way home, defeated by the powers that be and the powers that override us? We're haunted by a history we need to remember, but that we find difficult to even put words to. We've lost in this feeling of that the old ways can hold us together. And yet we're living with generations who know nothing but what they have now. For the Hebrews in exile, this creative God that we hear about in Genesis, the God who spoke creation into being without violence, that was a direct statement against the violent, powerful, thirsty, power-hungry Babylonian gods. Gods, plural. This is a poem of resistance and revolution, of placing creative action and connectedness at the forefront, not power, not violence, not turmoil. The God heard here and the God of the universe that I know wills order and function, not disorder and chaos. The God of Genesis speaks out this with God's own breath. Ruach, the Hebrew word for wind, breath, spirit. But wait, Vicar, what about your seemingly spiritual gift of finding a paradox in everything? Well, my friends, it's here today as well. The paradox of this creation story is the tension between God's closeness, God's fidelity, and God's distance, or God's desire for the freedom of creation. Intention, then, is closeness and distance. Isn't that something we've heard before and continually hear? God, why are you so far away from me? I've heard that lament more than once. And it's in tension with, I felt God with me at that moment, and it filled me with love. I've heard that quite a few times too. You see, God never said that creation would be perfect. God said creation was good. And God continued to breathe upon it. God breathed into the very lungs of the human beings that God created. God became incarnate into the world as Jesus Christ. And we continue to hear the creative speech through Scripture and the Holy Spirit flowing between all of us and everything in creation. And God allows creation the freedom to be, to flow, to interact, and dare I say, evolve. And if we look closely enough, you will see this creative speaking into the world always moves from disorder to order. Now, it might not first appear that way to us as humans. And many times we find ourselves immersed in so much disorder, we can't see anything but the chaos. Can you think for yourself right now? What is disordered in your life? What has been disordered in your life for a while? Think of that thing, whatever it is. Place it out there in front and see if you can see it with new eyes, with the eyes of our creative God who brings order to chaos. What is God ordering in your life through the disorder of it? The freedom to even do that type of thinking, that's a gift from our creative God, and that's a gift that's still willing into the world. That's the closeness we can feel. God isn't abandoning, God is creating order out of chaos, light out of darkness. Our struggle is to hold that paradox without losing hope, without falling to the failings of our own limited views. So back to the fish for a second. How can a Chinook salmon change so much that when it returns to its home gravel, it has to die because its body no longer works in the fresh water? And in doing so, provides the nutrients needed for that next generation. How can steelhead travel back and forth between fresh and salt and not have that same fate? How can kokanee never taste salty ocean and yet biologically and behaviorally be salmon? The same way, I have never met a student who learns exactly the same way. The same way that you found a group of friends who match you so much, they feel like family. The same way you can look at your spouse and just know. The same way we can travel to the wonders of the world, be complete strangers, and yet stand there in awe and in common experience. The same way we can listen to the same sermon and hear different pieces in our hearts. The same way the smell of outside is always better on sheets and clothes and just in the air. The same way you can hear a loved one in your head, even if they've been gone for many years. The same way that even in the messy middle, there is hope, light, and love peeking out, waiting for us to notice. The same way that at the last breath, we find out all those answers that we can't seem to even understand now. The same way God ever has, ever is, and ever will speak God's Ruach into the world and will move God's will of both closeness and freedom. God's will of grace, love, and salvation for all creation. This, my beloveds, is what we must confess and what we must celebrate today. This is what Saint Francis can model for us and what we bless him for on his feast day. And in our own blessing of our own pets today. Thanks be to God. Amen.